The Culture Pop Podcast is brought to you by the law offices of Jacob Imrani.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob.
Hey, it's Mace. If you or a friend or loved one is injured in an accident, the first person you should call is my friend Jacob. When I did this, Jacob was great. He helped me by talking through the next steps, which really put my mind at ease. When you're injured in an accident, you got to have an expert. That's why you call Jacob, just like I did. Call Jacob, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB, or visit calljacob.com.
Call Jacob.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Culture Pop Podcast. I'm Steve Mason along with Sue Kalinske. This is the show where we talk about everything pop culture. And today we've got episode number 7, Sugar Watch Along Series. And Sue, the cat is out of the bag. We know he's an alien. We know there's an alien society. There are kind of two stories going on at the same time. They're still looking for Olivia. Sugar wants to look for her. And there's this alien society that is going to pull up stakes and go back home. What's your take on what's going on? It's wild.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out how the Seagulls are involved in all of this. And now there's this politician and his family that are involved in all of this. And then, of course, you know, you see the trap door open at one point and you see someone who had rubber gloves on and you don't know who it is.
Yes, yes. Now, I assume that we're finding Olivia in episode 8. Are we agreed?
Yes, definitely.
I also think we're going to find out the story of, and I think it's Jen, right? The story Jen,
yes,
is
right.
His sister.
Yes.
And at one point, he was meeting with Henry from the Secret Society. And he said, I hope you find Olivia, but without your sister, I'm afraid you're always going to feel lost. So I assume we're also going to find out the parallel between Jen, his sister, and Olivia, who's missing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you mentioned politics. It turns out that the aliens have been known to the federal government for a while, and it sounds like they have procured Olivia for a creepy senator's son who it sounds like is keeping her in the basement, right?
Right, right. Well, they said that they're on to us.
Yes, yes, they're going to figure it out. All right, so this is really cool. Joining the show right now is actor Dennis Poutsakaris. He has appeared in movies like Batteries Not Included, The Bourne Legacy. On television, he has starred on shows like Shameless and Better Call Saul, and his latest role is in Sugar. He plays Bernie Siegel, who, as a father, loses his son David, and also his daughter Olivia is missing. Dennis Poutsakaris joins us. Dennis, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
So we are absolutely loving the show. We obviously are doing an episode of the podcast after every episode of the show. So this is episode number 7. And the twist has twisted. We know the big flip in the story. But before we get to all that, I want to ask you something about your character, Bernie. Now, Bernie lost his son, Davey. His daughter, Olivia, is missing. And I'm wondering, in your head, in Bernie's head, why is he so supportive and devastated by Davey, but doesn't seem devastated by the fact that Olivia is missing?
Ah, well, I can't tell you that. I think you're going to find that out. Yeah. It's hard for me to know certain things because a lot of stuff changed and they've edited things in a way that sometimes I go, oh, I don't remember that. So if what I'm remembering is correct, I can't tell you because it'll ruin the surprise or
okay,
you know,
good.
The dilemma of that particular problem. Because that's been a running thread throughout all of it is why don't I give a shit about her? Oh, can I swear? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can.
Well, then why don't I give a shit about her disappearance? So I think we find that out.
Oh, so there's some stuff that maybe was changed by the time you get to see it.
Absolutely.
Okay. How much did you know, you know, when you first got the gig, and then you started to learn more about what this show was, did you go like, whoa, I didn't see that coming?
The dirty secrets of being an actor, well, one of many secrets, is that you don't know what's going to happen if you don't have all of the script. And so usually you get them as you're going.
So there have been all kinds of theories out there. I'm interested in this. All kinds of theories out there for weeks. And we thought, okay, maybe it's AI, maybe it's aliens. Aliens was actually on our bingo card as a potential ultimate answer here. But what was the thing early in the show that tipped people
off? What was the clue
off?
For you about the aliens? What was...
For me, it was when he...
No, go ahead.
And this is weird. Episode one, he takes his chopsticks and he plucks that fly out of the air. And I'm like, no, normal people can't do that. Yeah. Normal people are incapable of that.
I thought there were some other wonderful clues, like him staring at the moon. I'd love that. What were the other things?
Well, there
I mean,
was
he
a-
just, you know, the fact that he can't, you know, he drinks alcohol and he doesn't get drunk.
Yes.
I mean,
that
little
was a
things
big
like
one.
That.
That was a big
My
one.
My favorite thing was the moon, though. I mean, they did that in a couple episodes, you know.
So you're working with the great director, Fernando Moraes, along, and also Adam Arkin is also one of the directors on the show. And it looks like there's a lot of handheld camera. And you've got a scene with James Cromwell, who plays your father, Jonathan, where you are in an emotional breakdown, knowing that you've got to let Davey go. And it looks to me like there was a lot of handheld camera used in that scene. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem was, and you know, before I answer that, we did that scene like 5 or 6 times. So it's possible that at the same time that there was a camera on a tripod, a camera sort of floating, which is what Fernando and his amazing DP Cesar, whose last name I can never pronounce, you know, who didn't speak English, by the way, which was great, because when Fernando and Cesar were talking about something, you know, you always thought, oh, they're talking about me. But they were amazing. So anyway, Cesar was doing his own camera work while the other cameramen were doing sort of stationary tripod stuff. So I think probably a combined bit of both of those. I mean, the problem was that James was in a bed. So how do you maneuver it to get my face in there? So I don't remember the bed ever being moved. So I think Cesar probably actually literally got a bed to get that shot. That was a great, we told James that was his best work.
You know, it's funny. There's a line in that jumped out at me because you're talking about David. And you said, too much, too soon, too easy. You get born into all this, you get more and more. It's not all his fault. And I think it kind of summarizes the danger of being not just a child star, but you know, this idea of a Nepo baby, kind of being born into so much. You know what I mean?
I do. And it seemed like a realization that my character would not have ever come to except for this horrible thing that had happened in the family. I mean, right up to that point, you know, I think I was oblivious to all that. It's interesting, you know, actors will tell you that, oh, the things they cut, you should have seen the things they were cut. And one of the things, I don't know if it's in the episode that you're seeing, that you've seen, was I had a conversation in the hospital saying that we were going to fund his film no matter what, because the idea was we were going to pull the plug on the film because of all the bad publicity he was getting. But now that he was dying, we were going to continue to fund it. And they cut that out. So, I mean, probably for time and for other reasons, but it was an interesting little, you know, up to the moment that we had to pull the plug on his life support, we were still the Seagulls. And until we had made the decision to pull the plug, something happened in our, you know, relationship to the world and to our son and to my father. I mean, it's the first time I'm nice to him.
Yeah, that was something that we hadn't seen before. There was a lot of empathy between you and your dad and how he said to you, losing a child, you know, what a horrible thing.
It was a way for us to come together, which I was happy for, actually.
Yeah, I found an interesting quote on Deadline from executive producer Simon Kinberg. And he was talking about pitching the show. And he says, there were a lot of places that were scared of this reveal, that it felt like the blending or the mashup of the genres was too risky. There were some places where they said, Why can't it just be a detective show? It's a really good detective show. And it does work as straight up a detective show. But you've got this enormous twist, and it reminds me a little bit of years ago, I interviewed David Chase, and he said when he was pitching The Sopranos, a lot of the people he was pitching said, does he have to go to a shrink? And I was like, well, that's the whole point of the show. And I feel like that's a little bit here. This was baked in. This was a decision by the filmmakers. And for me, it completely works, right?
Well, good. I'm glad. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about it. So, I mean, it depends on what side of you fall on with that.
I read a lot of, reviews where people were not happy. They were like, oh, some of you are going to be pissed off. And I love the fact that it went in that direction because it was a departure from what you expected. And that's what I loved about it. And every episode, it's like, what is going on? What are we going to find out?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Colin is an inspired choice for this as well in so many ways. I mean, he's such... Colin is an A-plus human being. He's the kind of actor you want to be around because he's a team player and he's funny and he works hard. He's got a good work ethic. And I mean, all of that, it adds up to just a great person to be around. And especially when we were shooting it, that's when Banshees of Erin came out. And I was just over the moon for that film. But anyway, I just think because he's such a movie star and such a good guy. His character is such a good person.
I love the use of movie clips throughout this show.
It's
part of the genius, I think, of the show. And a lot of it, I think the core of the story is that scene with Robert Mitchum in Night of the Hunter and the hand with love and the hand with hate. And
I didn't know what that was from. It's from Night of the Hunter?
Night of the Hunter, and he plays a serial killer posing as a preacher. So there's a sort of disguise there that's going on, and he's faking it. And I think that a lot of times, Sugar, I mean, he says it many times, I don't want to hurt anyone.
But I don't want to hurt people, is what he says. I don't want to hurt people.
There you go. And he acknowledges
good clue
that he did wipe out Stallings and his crew and admits he didn't really need to kill Stallings. He says, I killed him just because I felt like it. So I feel like he's got this sort of good, evil, love, hate battle going on in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen that. Does he say that in episode 7? Or episode 6?
Yes, he does. He says episode 7.
Yeah. I'm up to the point where he left Kirby's house because he saw that she actually had aspirin. And she's going upstairs to get those magic pills.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. No. And in this past episode, he was also saying that being in LA, I'm becoming more human. And that's what happens when you stay too long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's such a good show.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. People seem to like it.
Yeah. We loved having you on. Thank you so much for doing this. And we can't wait to see how it all wraps up.
Me too. I have no idea.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you.
There you have it. There's Dennis Boutsakaris. And, interesting nugget there. He says, we're going to find out why Bernie is more invested in Davey than he is in Olivia, who is missing right now. He says that's part of the denouement.
You know, I'm wondering, because they said he and his dad said something very interesting. Like, do you think have you heard from her?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, I think we would have heard from her.
Yes.
You know, and they've never, ever said anything like that before. Like, have you heard from her? So I don't know. I mean, show business, politics are so intertwined. We have this senator, dealing with these like movie moguls. So something crazy. But I would only assume that we're going to find out why everything's going to come together in the next episode.
Everything's going to come together. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Now, here's my prediction. You ready? So the aliens are pulling up stakes and going home. I think Sugar is going to stay and continue as a private detective.
Definitely.
You think that's where we're going?
He's definitely not leaving.
Yes, to me, that's cool. So he's a loner alien trying to solve crimes with some special powers. To me, that's a fascinating setup for a season two. All right, well, there you have it. There is our Sugar Watch Along episode number 7. Make sure you're back for the finale episode next week. Don't forget, you should subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Our YouTube channel is the Culture Pop Podcast YouTube channel. If you're watching right now, like the podcast, like the video, and then leave us a rating or a review or a comment or whatever down below. Thanks very much for watching, and we will see everybody next time after Sugar Episode 8, the finale, here on the Culture Pop Podcast.